Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Josh Moody with a practical discussion about everyday holiness.
There are things that you're going to have to deny yourself if you're to be holy. There are things that feel like they would feel right and good, but you know are not, that you're going to have to deal with if you're going to be holy. You're going to have to go against the grain of what seems pleasant if you're going to be able to really experience the true pleasures of intimate relationship with Christ and the character, the pleasure of that character that he has for you.
Josh Moody, coming up next. Today we discuss the wonderful and sometimes misunderstood topic of holiness in the Christian life. Dr. Josh Moody, in his new book, Everyday Holiness, Becoming Who You Were Made to Be, says holiness isn't about a drab or dreary lifestyle. It's not about faking it or being inauthentic. Holiness is about believing in and following Jesus. Dr. Moody pastors College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, and has been a frequent guest on Pilgrim Radio's teaching programs. Pastor Moody, why did you devote a book to this subject? And then secondly, what is holiness?
It seems to me that the church has rightly emphasized, or understandably emphasized in recent years, the need to engage with contemporary culture, whether that's in a confrontive way or an evangelistic, winsome way. But the point is being that we're surrounded by increasing non-Christian culture. We've got to engage with it. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's right. And I've spent many of my years figuring out how to reach people for Jesus and engage with the culture. So that's good. But I think there's been the pendulum has swung too far in that direction. And we have given insufficient attention to a major theme of Scripture, which is that the church should be different from the surrounding culture, and we as individuals should be distinct, salt and light. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's the theme of holiness. And I think that we haven't been emphasizing holiness or the call to Christlikeness is shown by in all sorts of ways, but one would be all the scandals which people are aware of among the Christian church these days. So I think we need to beat that drum. In terms of what, I was really influenced as I was thinking about this, really over many years, but when I came to write the book, this is the frame for me, by John Owen's, the great Puritan theologian from the 17th century, John Owen, mm-hmm. his definition of holiness, where he talked about how holiness, real gospel holiness, is the reflection of the Christian after the shape of the gospel. That's what I think it is, that so the subtitle of the book, Becoming Who You Are Made to Be, but having become a real regenerate, born-again Christian. That's number one. And the task of holiness, it's impossible without that. Then our task is to increasingly reflect that shape that we have been now made into, the shape of the gospel. I hope this book will help. I think we need a lot more conversation about it. I mean, the great classic on holiness was J.C. Ryle, more recent than Owen, was J.C. Ryle's. Mm-hmm. The Bishop of Liverpool, his book on holiness called Holiness, and Jerry Bridges, The Pursuit of Holiness, Practice of Godliness. But it's been a while since we've really beat this drum as a church, and I think we need to.
Synonyms for it, Pastor Moody, for holiness: sanctification, Christlikeness.
Yeah, sanctification, Christlikeness, godliness, mm-hmm. Becoming more like Jesus. The word holiness itself, the Greek and the Hebrew words that underpin. So we have the Christian sort of nomenclature, sanctification, whether that's a sort of sophisticated systematic theology nomenclature, but then you have the popular language, you know, becoming more like Jesus, Christlikeness, godliness, which are all synonyms with the mm-hmm. idea of holiness. But then you look at the biblical architecture and the shape of Scripture and the biblical languages, and the essential idea of holiness is in the biblical terminology, that biblical language, the biblical words is distinctness, specialness, otherness, and it's that kind of idea. And as I say towards the end of the book, interestingly, the word holiness, which the etymology of that word is a little disputed, but it could come from an old German word which means something like wholeness or health. Or so it's interesting, you know, we've got all the mental health challenges of our culture right now. It could be that the healing we need comes from the wholeness that we need to pursue.
And in terms of where in Scripture we can find teaching on holiness, I think you focus on a portion of the book of Colossians in your book.
You know, when I told people I was writing on that, most people sort of gulped when they said I was going to do it. And this is a very brief book and very accessible, and deliberately so. I mean, I've written bigger books, so this is meant to be really something you can you study in a small group, something you can do in like a student ministry. It's like that kind of book. But yeah, there's so much that in the Bible we go to tackle this topic. And so I just focused on one part of Paul's letter to the Colossians. And I think that Colossians 3 has a really helpful, clear, paradigm way of looking at what holiness is and what it is not. And knowing what it is not is also important, because so often, the reason why, of course, Christians and churches tend not to talk on this topic too much is because there's been such a history of misunderstanding. And so you can easily start going down a rabbit trail. So you have to be clear what, in your mind, what it is not, and also what it is. And I think Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, that chapter 3 does that in a really, you know, in like a small frame, does it really clearly. So that I focus there.
Well, the book is Everyday Holiness, Becoming Who You Were Made to Be. My guest is Pastor Josh Moody of College Church in Wheaton, Illinois. Obviously, for most of this conversation, we're going to be unpacking what exactly holiness is. Pastor Moody, taking a look at that passage in Colossians, but you did just underscore there what it is not. For a lot of people, it's about not doing enjoyable things.
Yeah, exactly. So we tend to think holiness it has a sort of negative, like heavy feel to it, not doing things you might enjoy. And there's a reason why it has, because there's been that emphasis in the church that historically that holiness is denying yourself legitimate pleasures. And that's not what it is. A little more subtly than that, it's and John Owen talks about this quite a lot. He would say that the greatest cause of the problems of the church, period, has been a misteaching about holiness, which is quite a claim, and fascinating to think through. And so the issue is, the fundamental issue is that it is impossible for someone to really be holy unless they are first regenerate. So if we're wanting to reestablish Christ-likeness in a congregation or a culture or an individual, the first thing is evangelism. The first thing is clarifying what the gospel is. The first thing is a call to regeneration, because it's impossible for someone to become more like Christ until they are in Christ, until they have, and that's what Paul talks about in Colossians 3, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. And that first spiritual resurrection, the regeneration, being born again, being in Christ, is essential. And the Colossians had gone off on a wrong trail in that regard. They had been listening to false teaching, and no one's quite sure exactly what the Colossian heresy was, but there was some heresy that was happening in Colossae, the Lycus Valley region, that had some sort of Judaistic, mystical, legalistic set of ideas that had catchphrases that Paul quotes: do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, as if that has any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Well, it doesn't support, it doesn't work. Instead, since you've been raised with Christ. So a lot of it's getting back to what it really means to be a Christian and who Jesus truly is. So the way Paul sets it out in Colossians, he paints this majestic vision of who Jesus is in all his sovereignty and beauty and power. And then given that, and given that you're in him, then as a result of that, you pursue holiness. So that's to get that, what it is not, legalistic, of your own efforts, something that anyone can do, what it is, this majestic vision of who Christ is based upon his regenerative work in my life. That's really the first step. And if you don't get that right, you won't get anything else right. And if you get that right, everything else will follow.
Mm-hmm. Just one more question, kind of addressing the misconceptions that you were talking with a friend, as I recall, and you offered him a beer, and it was somehow in that exchange that his thought process was changed to being receptive to the gospel, to Jesus Christ. Not that the beer in itself, but that it pushed away a misconception of what it meant to him to live the Christian life.
That was a particularly kind of obvious, kind of extreme example of it. But I found that sort of thing commonly the case, that that people have this misconception of what it means to be a Christian, this misconception of what it means to be holy or godly. And, you know, an individual like that coming from a religious background that he was rejecting, it meets a pastor, a minister, a preacher, and has this assumption in his mind. And then just to be informally said, look, you know, let's have a beer and talk. Months later, after he was coming to our church and listening to preaching and getting involved in the community and studying the Bible, pretty clear that was a turning point for him. It's like, whatever this is about, it's not what I thought it was about. It's something else. You know, that obviously I'm not advocating for drunkenness.
Right.
But it, you know, I think I say in the book, it reminded me a little bit, not that I'm claiming the Messiah's activities in my own being, but it reminded me a little bit, of course, Jesus turning water into wine, that being present in the world, but not being of the world, that missionary heartbeat is actually part of what it means to pursue Christ, that we are to be salt and light, the salt of the earth, the light of the world. It's not like you don't put the light under a bowl. You have to let, so it's all connected to the power of the gospel, who Jesus is, the mission call of the church. Whereas, you're kind of putting out the other thread of misconception. Not only is it like legalistic, it's separatist. Well, that's not holy. If we're to be like Jesus, if to be holy is to be like Jesus, he wasn't a separatist. He wasn't worldly in the sense of he wasn't immoral at all. He was, you know, without sin, 100% blindingly, beautifully pure, but he was a friend of sinners. So that,
yes.
So all that has to be like clarified over and over, because we've got, in our own minds, we have these like hardwired, these tapes that we play when we hear holiness, like a tape plays of, oh, this is what it means. No, this is not what it means. What it means is instead, and that's what we talk about in the book.
Holiness, you write in your book, is something that, yes, it's by the grace of God, but it's something we need to seek. It's something we need to strive after. It doesn't come to us passively.
So when we become a Christian, that is all of grace. Even our act of faith, using faith as an act, is itself initiated by God. So A.W. Tozer would say that it's a key principle of theology that God is always previous. So everything is of him. And it comes back to the idea of what salvation is. Like, salvation is God saving me. I need to receive that, but it is God doing it. So it's all of him and all for his glory. And when we become a Christian, we receive his Spirit. And then he calls us to holiness. That's something that we need to put the effort in. So Paul, now this is from Philippians rather than Colossians, but the same point is made in Colossians. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who's at work in you to will and act toward according to his good purpose. So we actually need to work out what he has worked in. It's effort, hard work. Paul talks about putting to death in his letter to the Romans. That's certainly active. In mortification, John Owen's famous thing on the mortification of sin, one of his famous texts on this, it's certainly active. It's a deep, hard work. And so you have this new set of abilities to be holy because you're a Christian. But now you've got to actually work at it. You've got to put the effort in order for that new sensibility, that new taste, that new nature. Now you've been raised with Christ. Now, this is now Colossians 3, the language there. Now you've got to set your heart on things above. You've got to set your mind on things above. As he says, put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly. Put on. So that these are all very active terms. So salvation is all by grace. We've got to be saved by him, received. That's all of grace. But when we are a Christian, that work of holiness is something by God's power, in the power of the Spirit. We couldn't do it if we didn't have the Spirit, but we need to do. Elsewhere, Paul says, I work with all his energy, which so powerfully is at work in me. There's this, when you're a Christian, there's an active walk, an active race, an active fight, the fight of the faith. Mm-hmm. It's not passive, lay back and let it happen. I think for a lot of people, that's a little bit of an eye opener. They think you're being legalistic when you say that. No, you're not. You've got to be born again. But if you want to grow as a Christian, you need to set the alarm clock, get up early enough so you can read the Bible. If you want to grow as a Christian, you've got to get out of bed and get to church. If you want to grow as a Christian, you need to read the Bible and pray. If you want to grow as a Christian, you need to deal with sin in your life. And that's hard work. And you need the power of the Spirit to do it. But you're going to have to work hard for it to happen.
And I think Jerry Bridges, you mentioned him earlier, yeah, author of the book, The Pursuit of Holiness. He talked about a holiness, in a sense, synonymous with Christian character, that it's our responsibility. It can't happen if we're not joined to Jesus by faith. The Holy Spirit indwells us, but it still is our responsibility.
Yeah, Jerry Bridges wisely emphasized that. It's one of his big themes, the pursuit of holiness, mm-hmm, that this actually is a race, and that it is our responsibility. That's not to lay a burden of guilt.
No.
It's to cast a vision for what God has for you. Your Heavenly Father has for you a vision of increasing Christ-likeness, and he's inviting you into it to take responsibility, to become the person that you were made to be. That should feel exciting, mm-hmm, in the same way. I mean, it's not a perfect analogy, but a little bit like how a coach invites you onto the football team and says, you can do it, you're on the team, and what you got to do is go to the gym and work hard and calls you forward. So you're on the team, but you've got to put the effort in to become the person that you were made to be.
The scripture in Colossians talks about putting on and putting on these aspects of what it means to be a Christian, tender mercies, compassion, various things, and putting off sinful behavior, as like you say, John Owen says, be killing sin or it will be killing you, that kind of thing. What is involved in putting on the, if you will, the clothing of Christ, the virtues that Colossians talks about, and of putting off, of killing the sin in our lives?
Yeah, so in Colossians, he talks about put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And then he lists the sort of things he means, sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, which is idolatry. And then he says, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And then he describes what we're to put on. And over all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So the first part of that process is putting to death. And the way I tend to teach this is that this is, and I don't even know whether this is my phrase or someone else's anymore, it may well be someone else's, but it is a kind of holy violence, that if you're going to deal with certain kinds of sinful tendencies in your life, there are things that you're going to have to deny yourself if you're to be holy. There are things that feel like they would feel right and good, but you know, are not, that you're going to have to deal with if you're going to be holy. You're going to have to go against the grain of what seems pleasant if you're going to be able to really experience the true pleasures of intimate relationship with Christ and the character, the pleasure of that character that he has for you. The other way I tend to teach it, it's a bit like, I'm not much of a gardener, but we do have a backyard. and weeds grow in the backyard. And we have some pretty virulent weeds in our backyard, probably because I'm not much of a gardener. What I've noticed about weeds is that obviously you can use poison to get rid of them, I suppose, and that's one approach. But if you want to do it the old way and cut them down, you've actually got to get them out by the roots. Otherwise, they just grow right up again very quickly. That's the sort of thing we're talking about here. So you've got to get to the root of it. So the question to ask yourself when you're dealing with a sinful habit or tendency or a perennial area of temptation is why? What's going on? What's the sin behind the sin? What is it that I really, what's the idol here? I mean, that's the language Paul uses, which is idolatry. What is it that I'm worshiping? What is it that I'm saying is more important than God that's behind this activity? Am I someone who perhaps is tending to speak slanderously about someone else? Or what's going on there? Is it because the idol they worship is their own predominance, their own being at the top of the pile? They're sort of cutting everyone else down so that they can be at the top. And so if that's what's going on, well, why? What is it, a sense of insecurity? Did they feel like they have to be at the top to be insecure? And then they're really saying that God isn't either powerful enough or loving enough to care for them? Often there's an idolatry that's involved in sin. That's what Paul's saying here. We're worshiping something is really what's most important when it isn't. Someone who spends all their life just trying to make more and more money, what are they really worshiping? Well, you could say that they're really worshiping the God of Mammon. And so it's not just about more money. It's about an ultimate view that actually what counts is wealth and prosperity. And that's how I'm going to prove that I'm of value. Mm-hmm. So once he's been to see, that's what's going to say, well, is that really the case? Someone can be acting a certain kind of way because, and this may start to feel like for some of your listeners, like slightly counselor speak, but before Freud and Jung and all that, I'm not saying you can't learn anything from those people, of course you can, but before all that, if you go back to the Puritans, a lot of them were called soul doctors. This is why they're so good on this sort of thing. So Richard Baxter has this massive volume called The Christian Directory, which is just him answering one question after another question, which is a sort of soul question, and they get to the roots, what's really going on. That itself is an exciting adventure. In the same way that people like, you know, go to therapy because they want to discover what's really going on. Similarly, when the path of wholeness and putting to death characteristics that don't please Jesus is an adventure of discovering who you really were made to be and then becoming that in the power of the Spirit. So it's an active killing. So the holy violence, and it's going down to the roots. So that's the putting to death piece. And the putting on, I like to think of it, as I understand it, the way I teach it, the image is of putting on clothes. And so what Paul is saying here is, so you've become this person, now start to put on the clothes that fit who you are. So actually, when you're a Christian, there's no one on the face of the planet more miserable than a Christian who's stuck in a sinful pattern of life, because it doesn't fit anymore. Whereas a pagan can be, relatively speaking, reasonably happy in a sinful pattern of life. A Christian cannot, doesn't fit. So what we've got to do is put on now what fits. And then Paul lists what those are. And it can seem, you know, sometimes people say, I don't feel like forgiving someone, or I don't feel like loving my husband, my wife, or I don't feel like going to church or something. Well, you've got to put on the right attitude, the right action, even though it doesn't necessarily feel like it connects yet. But by the action of putting it on, it will start to become more and more part of actually who you are. You'll become who you're made to be. If you don't love someone, try loving them. And you'll find you end up loving them.
I think C.S. Lewis said that.
Yeah, he did something like that, didn't he? Yeah.
Pastor Moody, your book is Everyday Holiness, Becoming Who You Were Made to Be. But I'm wondering if I could ask you one question kind of bundled together. What are some major impediments to everyday holiness? And sort of on the other side of the coin, what are the keys, as you see it, to making progress?
I think the major impediment to holiness has to be a lack of spiritual life. So if someone doesn't have any desire to be holy, and doesn't, the first thing is to come to Jesus, believe in him, submit to him, ask him to save you. Because what we're talking about here is a supernatural work of God. And then the tools are the ones we've just been going through, put to death, put on. We can talk about, I'm not a big fan of the language of spiritual disciplines for various reasons, but we can talk about reading the Bible, praying, going to church, and we must. But within those things, there needs to be this active putting to death and putting on. It's not, this is some of the challenge of the spiritual disciplines. It can feel mechanistic. It's not like you just do those things. There's an active engagement in the midst of the Christian community, in the midst of the Christian typical ways of being. And that's the putting to death and the putting on.
And I know this has to do with living life at home, living life at work, living life in our culture. Can you give us some encouragement? What's at stake, motivation, anything, as you help us to just reflect upon what you've been saying?
I think people are desperate to meet real Christians. I think the world around us, we won to Christ in God's sovereignty, according to his timing, as we become more like Christ. There'll be people who reject us because we're like Christ, but there'll be people who won because we're like Christ. As I say, I think the pendulum swung too far towards engagement, and this is a message about distinctiveness.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to our guest, Dr. Josh Moody, pastor of College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, and author of the new book, Everyday Holiness, Becoming Who You Were Made to Be. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us again Monday at this same time for another edition of His People.